Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Volta Box earnings call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Jürgen Pampel.
Gentlemen, I cordially welcome you to our conference call on the occasion of our figures for the first half of 2019, published today. Let me tell you what it's like. We have recently had to put up with a lot of criticism. And yes, I personally can understand that the size of the sales warning led to this reaction of the market. We are well aware that the strong growth of Volta Box was not easy for many. And we are also aware that some market participants are suspicious about the further development of Volta Box. So I would like to take a very clear position on this. Yes, we need to make some corrections, and yes, we need to improve in some areas. We have to optimize our cost structure and to some extent eliminate inefficiencies. Volta Box is part of a dynamically growing industry with dynamically developing customers and markets, with rapidly changing opportunities, with new emerging products and rapidly changing technologies. In this extremely agile field, we have worked hard in the past to establish a strong and, above all, promising starting position. With a sound technological know-how, with useful cooperations, with the opening and development of promising markets, with excellently prepared production capacities and leading first-time customers, and last but not least, with a recognizable brand presence. And now what? Now our growth story has suffered a dent. In addition, we are pursuing the clear goal of once again doing better, justice to our claim to operational excellence. All in all, we are talking about the task of raising our profitability back to the level that we set ourselves and that the market expects of us. Last year, Volta Box generated sales of around 67 million euros with an EBIT margin of more than 8%. We have thus grown by 145% within 1 year, a more than significant leap. Volta Box has thus grown massively within a very short period of time. The topic of resources was a central aspect of this year's annual report in May. In line with our fast-growing business, we significantly expanded these resources last year: buildings, machinery and equipment, employees, and also know-how. Finally, we maintained our ambitions and aimed for another leap in sales in the current fiscal year and prepared ourselves intensively for it. However, as we announced just over a week ago on August 12th, at last two events have occurred that make our planning for the current fiscal year partially obsolete. First of all, I would like to talk about the postponed order to our U.S. subsidiary, Volta Box of Texas. As you know, the basis of our existing business in the USA to date has consisted primarily of the development and production of battery systems for our customer Komatsu, that is mining division, in which the realization of the major sales is still to come, and on the other hand, our US colleagues were the central driving force and the starting point for our success in the trolleybus market segment, which was developed at an early stage and in which we have virtually reopened an area of application with our pioneering lithium-ion-based solutions. In the current year, we have also aimed to enter the North American intralogistics business with our subsidiary. In the first half of the year, we set up the same highly automated line at our Austin plant, which has been processing prismatic cells here in Delbrück into modules with a high cycle rate for around 3 years now. We also developed the strategy for a sales network throughout the United States with the necessary consistency within a short period of time and pushed ahead with its implementation. As we already announced at the annual general meeting, in addition to fine-tuning our approach to opening up the market geographically, we adjusted our technological concept for battery systems for this market. Contrary to the original expectations, however, we were unable to build up our sales network at the speed and effectiveness required by our considerations. Accordingly, we prudently reviewed and refocused our strategy, but this also meant that we had to reassess the likelihood of our expected sales in the second half of the year. Almost at the same time, it became apparent that planned sales of stationary storage systems were bearing fruit in a new application for us, the market for broadcasting mass systems for operating the new 5G frequencies. Conventional old 3G or LTE transmitters have installed lead-acid backup batteries to keep the mobile network operational in the event of a power failure. The new 5G transmitters can be equipped with lithium-ion batteries in the future. For us, this means a completely new mass market. In the following, I would like to briefly describe to you how the process up to the postponement, of the start of production took place. At the pace at which our customer in the United States accelerated its efforts to build the first 70 5G masts in the middle of the second quarter, we were able to deliver the alpha prototype at the beginning of June thanks to our modular system. The tests were carried out to the satisfaction of our customer, with the result that orders for 5 beta prototypes followed in July. The start of production was scheduled for August, early August. So we were suddenly surprised by the news at the beginning of August that the operator wanted changes to the configuration for extended use. I have stressed in several conversations over the last few days that it was difficult for us to come to the terms with this short-term decision. Nevertheless, I can confirm that the technical changes are no problem at all for us. The customer demands a change in the battery coverage from 33 hours to 44 hours in order to bridge longer power outages and to be able to pursue a completely new initial commissioning approach. Conversely, the new system have to have a lower cycle stability. The first deliveries will now begin towards the end of the year. However, our subsidiary will not realize most of the proceeds from this initial order with a volume of $22 million until the coming financial year. Waterbox of Texas achieved an EBIT of minus 3.5 million euros in the first half of the year due to the fact that the plants for the preparation and of production with regard to material procurement and personnel expansion had already been implemented. The loss is expected to be lower in the second half of the year. Overall, Waterbox consolidated achieved an EBIT of minus 3.6 million in the first half of the year, compared with plus 0.1 million in the previous year. At this point, I would like to emphasize that at the same time our forecast was announced, this order was by no means so certain that we could have fully included it in our guidance for the current year. As you know, in our forecast, we have accordingly also identified growth in other market segments as central driving forces. Nevertheless, we were fairly certain that we would receive this first order from our customer in the U.S. beginning of third quarter. The concretization and subsequent award of the contract, however, took place during a period in which it became clear to us that the original goals in the intralogistic market of our U.S. subsidiary for the current financial year would be very difficult to achieve. Therefore, a revision of the forecast was not justified at that time. I will come back to the changed outlook for the Waterbox of Texas in a moment. Let us now turn to the second development, which prompted us to revise our forecast. In addition to the United States business, the conversion of an important supplier to the latest generation of cells also has an impact on business development in the second half of the year. Contrary to original expectations, the changeover at Waterbox in the second half of 2019 will lead to an interruption of the supply of materials for 2 to 3 months, and thus in some areas to a production interruption of 3 to 4 months. The temporary loss of supply can only be partially replaced by existing modules. Sales of at least 12 million euros will be postponed until 2020. The new cell generations are characterized by a significantly higher energy density and better performance. They enable Waterbox to offer most cost-effective system solutions that will enable the company to strengthen its competitiveness. Since this year, 3 alternative cells from other suppliers have been on the market that are currently still in our internal approval process. As a result, we will significantly increase our protection against delivery failures of this kind in the future. As you can see, our business activities were proceeding according to plan until a few weeks ago. Our expectations for growth in the current financial year were therefore unchanged from our forecast at the beginning of March. Against the background of these developments, we have introduced a comprehensive package of measures to adjust and improve our cost structures and ensure a sustained return to profitability in 2020. In the future, we will consistently concentrate on projects and system solutions that show a better ratio of development expenses to potential sales. As short-term measures, we are also reducing personal costs, mainly at our German locations, by dispensing with temporary work and overtime and by reducing vacation areas. In the USA, the necessary measures to improve earnings are being implemented at the same time. Here we will intensify monitoring and support from Germany. And I am delighted that Thomas Becker, the new CFO of our American subsidiary, will support and drive this focus forward from September on site in Austin. As former head of finance and IT of Continental Automotive Systems in Texas, he not only brings valuable know-how for controlling costs and investments, but has also developed his own detailed concepts for the long-term improvement of the solidity and the finances of the Waterbox of Texas. we look forward to this increase in expertise. Our cooperation with the customer Komatsu is beginning more and more important, is becoming more and more important in the future, and also more intensive due to the many parallel projects. I can report from the first half of the year that we were able to bring series production for the battery hauler 1820 up to the planned level. In line with this level, we will produce a double-digit number of systems for the battery hauler 1820 alone in the current year. As already announced at the annual general meeting in my speech, further projects, Badger and Phoenix, are also under development or validation. Our roadmap, which we have already illustrated in our presentations in the past, remains unchanged. Apart from a minimal delay in just one project, we are fully on schedule and are pursuing the goal of making the first deliveries within the next 9 months as part of the current development projects. In parallel, we are currently working at high speed on pre-development issues together with Komatsu. These include the first model of the load hole with the project name Armadillo. Our progress on these projects will demand a great deal from our colleagues in the USA in the coming months. Here too, our new CFO, Mr. Becker, will keep a close eye on the cost of the developments in line with our expectations. In the intralogistic market segment, we will consistently focus on further sales instruments for the systems business in the coming months. Meanwhile, receivables from our main customer Triathlon will be significantly reduced as planned by the end of the current fiscal year. By contrast, we will not be able to reduce our inventories in the second half of the year due to the addition of materials that have already been ordered and can no longer be cancelled. However, this inventory will help us to significantly improve our earnings in the 2020 financial year. As you know, we have adjusted our expectations for sales and earnings in the current financial year as a result of the above developments. We now expect consolidated sales of between 70 and 80 million euros, previously between 105 and 115 million euros. We forecast an EBIT margin of minus 8 to minus 9%, previously between plus 8 and 9%. The cumulative order backlog for the next 5 years at the end of the first half of this year was still about the same level as at the end of 2018, that is around 1.1 billion euros. For the current year, we are assuming an investment volume of around 14 million euros, and as planned, own work capitalized will account for around 57% of total capital expenditure. I would now like to hand over to my colleague Patrick Zabel for a more detailed look at the figures for the first half of the year, whom we presented to you a few weeks ago as the new Vice President Finance. As we emphasized in our publication, Mr. Sabel brings with him comprehensive know-how and has earned us a high reputation in the few but very intensive months we have had so far. Mr. Zabel, please continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to welcome you warmly at this point. As you can see from our publication, I am responsible for finance and human resource at Waterbox. In this capacity, I would like to briefly explain our results for the first half of the year. You know that Waterbox has once again made a significant leap in sales. Sales in the first half of the year amounted to around 32 million euros. The results for the first and the second quarter are therefore fully in line with the growth plan for our business. Our capitalized development costs are also developing according to plan. In the first of the year, our profitability was negatively impacted in particular by an excessively high material use ratio. This was a result of materials to be procured at short notice as well as deteriorated conditions with regards to the procurement of the old cell technology, which is mainly used to intralogistic applications. Also of these too high procurement costs, we are pursuing the clear goal of only driving projects in the future in which such an imbalance between development cost and the use of materials and the expected revenues is ruled out. Also, other personal costs remain at an acceptable level. We will, as previously communicated, make precise corrections here as well in order to achieve the goal of the lean and efficient organization. After an EBIT margin of minus 3.4 million euro at the end of the first six months, we expected a further reduction in profitability in the second half of the year to minus 8% to minus 9% due to the absence of sales and fixed costs at the same time. As Mr. Pampel has already emphasized, we are intensively resizing the cost structure in the group and therefore have implemented a rich cost management. As expected, the focus in the second half of the year will continue to be on intensified management of net working capital. The reduction of receivables from Triathlon is clearly our top priority. Triathlon's repayments have been on schedule since January 1st. We coordinate this intensively and regularly with Triathlon. To this end, we have developed a repayment plan that is exact to the date. As was to be expected, these developments are not yet visible in the half-year report as of June 30. We will use the liquidity that will flow back as a result to further expand our activities. At the same time, we will use our inventories to generate sales. The additional asset added in the first half of the year, which must help us to generate sales revenue in the second half of the year and in 2020, without the addition of cash and cash equivalents. In view of our increasing balance sheet total of more than 150 million euro and the diversification of our financing strategy, our equity ratio remains at a high level of around 78%. Our plans for CapEx investments, as mentioned by Mr. Pampel, remain at 14 million euro. As explained, our own work capitalization in the current year will amount to around 57% of the total capital expenditures. As expected, we will generate a significantly improved operating cash flow in the second half of the year. Nevertheless, it goes without saying that we will see an effect on the cash flow from the unforeseen development in the first half of the year. As a result, free cash flow is expected by year-end at a low negative double-digit figure, which is a sharp improvement compared to 2018. Against this backdrop, our focus is not only on managing the current net working capital situation, but also on adjusting our cost structures both in Germany and the USA. Sustainable return to profitability in 2020 is our top priority. One goal to make even greater use of previously unused sales levers in the future. Our plans are to further increase our planning reliability and achieve attractive margin in the future, above all through recurring revenues. In the intralogistics segment in particular, we are currently revising our concepts for the market development and are keeping a close eye on the cost of generating every euro to revenue. I also very much welcome the fact that we can further intensely cost management with our new colleague Thomas Becker. I am convinced that the result to be expected from these activities will help us greatly across the entry group. We will be happy to discuss further questions in the Q&A round. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Zabel. Gentlemen, we have provided you with detailed information on the developments and results of the first half of the year. Before we move on to the already announced Q&A session, I would like to draw your attention to a highlight that lies direct ahead of us. As we and I have already announced elsewhere, we will present a world premiere at the IAA in Frankfurt this year, where we will introduce a complete 800-volt drive system which demonstrates our technological expertise. By this, we are the first supplier to make 800-volt technology freely available to the market. This means that cutting-edge technology is no longer limited to some few premium car makers. I am convinced that our approach will generate a lot of attention that will enable us to enter the automotive market, a mass market in which we will have to face the challenge of achieving attractive margins. Besides, we will also significantly increase our visibility in our focus markets. Furthermore, I'm particularly pleased that we can now demonstrate what our team in Aachen is capable of. We have already issued our invitation to you, but also at this point, I would like to stress once again that you are more than welcome to convince yourself that Walterbox technology and quality is not just one approach among many, but that our know-how and our technological resources are indeed highly competitive. In the coming months, all our attention will be focused on achieving operational excellence and thus raising our attractiveness for the capital market to the level with which we began our journey as a listed company. We will now be happy to answer any questions you may have as far as possible. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press 9 and star again. Please press 9 and star to ask a question. The first question is from Christian Globe of Hauck & Aufhäuser.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. I suggest we do them one-on-one. My first one would be on your sales development. What I'm missing in your segment reporting is actually a year-over-year comparison. So can you please talk a bit about your sales and its development in Europe and specifically how the business went with Triathlon, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Glover. So, I think I already explained the situation with Triathlon a little bit on my speech in May. So we have the situation that almost all of our planned revenues were done by end of the first half year with Triathlon. This was part of our prognosis or plannings. And in addition, there was announced against us some additional revenue potential due to the fact of this joint venture from Triathlon and Jungheinrich. But this is still like it is. It's just an announcement. We do not have up to now new orders from this joint venture group for now and not for the next weeks or months. This could change. We have to wait. But again, with Triathlon, we already fulfilled our 2019 plannings in terms of revenues.
Okay, so sales are declining according to plan, and the operating loss in Europe is exclusively related to the shortage of the cell supply. Is that the right way to look at it?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then my second question would be on your free cash flow and working capital once again. I mean, I appreciate that your receivables from related parties came down by about 10 million, but on the other hand, the trade receivables once again went up by about 15 million. Does that imply that we haven't actually seen a substantial improvement with regard to the payment terms related to Triathlon, and that potentially also other customers have actually tightened their cash management, or what's going up here on the trade receivable side?
So no other customers has tightened this. With Triathlon, most of last year's revenues combined with this long-term payment of 360 days was made in the second half of the year of 2018. This mm-hmm. explains the situation. So we will get this money back this quarter and the next quarter. And tell you is that last week the management of Triathlon and myself, we signed a new agreement with very detailed payment terms how to go on week by week from now till end of this year. And this so this is confirmed and agreed, and this should give you and us, of course, a certain outlook and confidence that we will get most of the portion back as planned till end of December of this year.
Okay. And then my last one would be, you basically said that you have already implemented some cost-cutting measures and that you are increasingly focusing on higher margin projects while rather withdrawing from projects coming with lower profitability. Can you give us an idea about what are your end markets that are most interestingly for you in terms of margin? And specifically, how can we think about sustainable profitability in these new end markets for stationary applications? Because I assume that these come actually with quite lower complexity and hence lower profitability, while competition in these end markets is actually quite more intense. So can you give us a bit more color on the targeted end markets and margin profile in these markets respectively, please?
Yeah, so I would like to start to answer your couple of questions first in regards to this 5G technology. We have here a complete new situation. So of course it's quite simple to do a backup battery system to bridge a loss of power from the grid. This is technology, old technology, known since decades. Now it's the big chance, and to be honest, it was partly us to bring those providers of this broadcasting pulse to that point, to think about lithium-ion batteries. because of one, two, three significant ideas, again, more or less born by us, by Volterbox. First, these old battery systems made from lead-acid blocks, you can only fix such batteries at the bottom of such a broadcasting pole, not above on the top because of the weight and because of the need for maintenance every few weeks. And because of the fact that such old technology-based systems have to be replaced every 18 to 20 months. So the idea born by us was to switch now in the stage where nearly all of these old broadcasting poles have to be replaced by completely new ones, to switch to lithium power because much lighter, the weight is lighter, no influence on this static of the poles, the chance to be mounted on the top, safe for against the violence and so on, because of no need for maintenance. And because the fact that such a system lives for years, not just for 18 months. This is how we stepped into these discussions with two main infrastructure suppliers, builders and suppliers in Texas, in California, and in Florida, United States. So so we were the first. Nobody else up to now, and this is a pity because we now have to give some of this, let's say, new secrets of this potential new field for lithium batteries to the public. So Volterbox up to now is the one and only being able to serve the very first of these infrastructure providers. We have already test fields, test systems in the field, and these potential customers of us or existing customers of us having some few units in use up to now, they learned a lot and they came back to us with this need to change of the specifications because they learned also that with our technology it will be possible or it is possible to switch on, to go on air, to go live with such a mast immediately powered by our battery. And this is important for those providers because in that moment when they are able to do this, to switch on the broadcasting function, they are able to invoice what they delivered. Usually it takes 2 months, sometimes 10 weeks, to get this mass powered from a local energy supplier. So they have to wait for their money from 2 to 3 months. And with our solutions, it's possible for our customers to invoice immediately. So another big advantage. So this is the situation with the 5G technology.
Okay, and once you deliver these systems on full steam, a mid-single-digit margin is realistic, or what are you targeting here?
No, I cannot confirm this. It's not a mid-single-digit margin. It is a two-digit margin, a higher two-digit margin.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
The next question is from Carsten Ildgen of Bankhaus Lampe. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you. Probably similar line of questions as before. Starting with the balance sheet and free cash flow. Can you specify your free cash flow guidance for the full year? You're saying low double digits for the full year, which is a broad range. Can you say you're going to be free cash flow positive in the second half? Is that something which you can confirm?
Yeah, we can do this. We can confirm that the free cash flow will be slightly positive for the second half of the year as planned. In fact, as we have announced, inventories will increase slightly again. This is mainly due to the order that we have been triggered for the sales that now have been postponed to the first half of the year and cannot be longer canceled, or we can't cancel them right now. However, this backlog will clearly help us from the beginning of 2020 at the least to generate sales without the new use of liquidity. It is also correct that we will almost completely reduce trade receivables from Triathlon by the end of the year in close coordination with Triathlon. The assumption regarding CapEx investment in the second half of this year is of course correct too. The cost-cutting measures we planned only take full effect in the coming fiscal year. Nevertheless, the short-term measures will, of course, have a slightly positive effect on our operating cost structure, too.
Great. So you want to be free cash flow positive in the second half and on a quarterly level? I mean, sorry to be that precise, but your balance sheet is tight. So on Q3 alone, are you going to generate free cash flow or are you burning still?
Because of the Triathlon effect, we will see maybe positive, but not in high positive operating cash flow. We have on the other side an impact of the investment cash flow because of the planned activities here in this field. For example, own capital or R&D costs, for example, we capitalized. But we cannot, or we won't have the effect that we have after all, the full year positive cash flow because of the impact at the first half year.
Now, for the full year, I understand, but for Q3 alone, it sounds like you will be free cash flow negative still, and then for the second half, though, positive, correct?
Yeah, I would only give you a little forecast for the second half year, not only for Q3. For the second half year, we will see stable cash flow, operating cash flow. If you will see this in Q3, we don't have forecast completely for this right now.
Okay.
We don't want to publish it right now. Yeah.
And how much headroom do you have on the balance sheet? I mean, you're mentioning in your presentation you would have available liquidity of 18.6 million, which, to be honest, I cannot really follow on the balance sheet. So maybe how do you get to this number, and how much headroom do you really have on your balance sheet? I mean, if I look at your Q2 report, you have cash of 4.2 million end of Q2.
The cash position is currently unchanged and will remain at a similar level over the rest of the year. As at the least balance sheet date, that's what I explained first. The basis for the reduction in receivables is the payment plan with Triathlon agreed to the exact date. The cash flow will be continuous over the next few months. As already mentioned, receivables are expected to decrease to a little digit million amount by the end of the year. That's what I expected too.
How much? Say it again. How much? Low double digits?
A single digit million. I would, right now we could expect.
For the receivables?
Yeah, for the receivables, correct, yeah.
And again, coming to this available liquidity that you put into the presentation of 18.6, what are you including here? Because gross cash as reported was 4.2.
Yeah. One moment. Okay, yes. These are funds that we can call up at any time. That's the first thing. In order to secure our growth financing, we began yearly to consider possible ways to diversify our financing structure. That's the first time we did it because, that's the first time now. We did this with the aim of beginning prepared for possible unforeseen events. You could understand it as a financing option. We currently assume that we will not have to resort these funds during this year.
So basically, you're including open credit lines in here, is that correct? So you have open some 14 right. million or so.
But we don't think that we will need them because we, in our cash flow calculation, we don't need them right now, and it's only an option to enter if there are some events we could not expect right now to have an option to use them.
And one last question on the balance sheet. How much of your receivables, roughly speaking, are related to Triathlon? It must be a very high portion, but how much is it? What of these 17 million?
Dr. Ilkin, around 2/3. Okay, we have to give Mr. Zabel a second. He's looking to find the correct numbers.
The trade receivable that all are right now at 71 million, I could not give you the exact amount right now, but there must be about 66% of them that should be the correct number.
And you mentioned before that most of this is going to flow back still this year.
Yeah, we have a repayment plan with Triathlon, and we will see a repayment in this year for the amount.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's great. Thank you. And slightly different question on targeting trying to find out your organic growth, really. I mean, what is the expected revenue contribution roughly for e-bikes this year? You're saying it's doing well, but how well is it doing? How much is it growing? Or how much revenues are you're going to make this year?
So it's in line with our plannings. We recently signed a new contract with our main customer. It's a company, Fazua, from the Munich area. So this is new for a brand new generation, next generation of their drives powered by Voltabox battery systems. In absolute figures, it's...
We could say it meets the expectation when we bought Accurate. They make a revenue forecast, what we could expect it for revenues in the next few years, and it's and the revenue and we see this revenues right now. So it met our requirement, but
is it double digit already?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's right.
It is double digit.
Yeah, correct. Right.
A low
amount,
yes.
But double digit.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, is it then correct to say if I would strip out e-bikes, your revenues would be broadly flat this year, 2019 over 2018?
Yes, indeed, because of these two main events I mentioned earlier. So without the need to explain this, think on the situation with this 5G order for the United States worth around 20 million euros, it should be we would have a much better picture then. Yes, but without this and the effects of this delay of incoming cells and this from this forced interruption of our production for this NMC modules, yes, the situation is like you explained. Correct.
And one last question. You're saying that going forward you're focusing on more profitable projects than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, should we recalculate your soft order book? I mean, it was never a hard order book, that's fully understand, but you're saying in the report you're still referring to 1.1 billion order backlog, but I would assume there are quite a few projects in there which are not meeting your new profit target.
No, that's not 100% correct. So first of all, we are focusing to get a better ratio of needed investments in R&D compared to the potential revenues later with such a project. So we have too many, to be honest, this is clear for us now, too many projects in progress or in process in the R&D with, let's say, not enough potential for revenues in the next years. But some, think on this 5G batteries, think on some intralogistic types of battery systems for very popular or attractive forklifts, for think it or not, e-buses, so not trolley buses, but purely electrical driven buses. And also, this is maybe good news for today in terms of our starter battery portfolio. We are now stepping into real mass applications and should I say this, I'm pretty confident that within the next few weeks we hopefully will be able to do an announcement in this regard. So this is what we are focusing on right now, to sort out such projects with high efforts in R&D, costly efforts in R&D, not in, let's say, in the right balance compared to the potential revenues and margins coming out of such a project. So we will focus on those with attractiveness for our business and sort out the other ones very consequently in what we are doing here in Germany and also in Austin, Texas. So we have to filter it, or we have filtered it already.
And how much of your order backlog would be dropping out by doing this filtering?
Nearly nothing, because the order backlog represents known and, old projects, not the new ones, or such, we are in a kind of pre-development phase trying to get new orders then to be included in the order, in our order book.
And the order book is fully fulfilling your new profit targets? Or does it mean you're still working through old projects first before we see an positive impact on your...
Where we have counted it with 100%, we have fixed prices. For this, yes. For this portion, yes. But to be honest, we have some included with 50% or less than 50% per our definition. There, of course, is a certain risk not to be able to generate, let's say, our target margin. But coming back to this situation with the new generation of cells, remember what I told you some minutes ago, with this new cells of showing much higher energy density, and not showing a double of the price per kilowatt hours on the cell level. It's again, it's just the opposite. So much higher density and a lower price per cell. We will be able, of course, to fulfill existing orders under use of this new cells. So what I would like to say is I see a good chance to meet even the commercial expectations of our end customers. In terms of on system level and competitive price per kilowatt hours on system level. Yeah?
And one last question to this last point. You mentioned that the new cells are commercially more attractive for your end customer.
Much more, yes.
All
sides. So it will allow higher margins for us and at the same time more attractive end prices on the system level for our customers compared to what we and other competitors were able to show up to now or before. Yes.
And related to that, would you see a risk of the inventories that you have, which are the old technology?
There is a certain risk, but not as high. And this is exactly what we have worked on over the past weeks to get out this from the risky zone. So we have made sure, and maybe in some few portions which are left, to make sure that exactly this will not happen. We have found and confirmed with more than just one of our customers orders or systems to be developed made from this old single size technology for the next months, eating this material we have on stock with no reduction of the end price. And part of this is that we are not planning impairments for this material on stock from what we see right now. And it's not only intralogistics applications, by the way. We will feed with this modules made from this single size cells.
Okie doke. Keep fingers crossed. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Elton.
The next question is from Bernd Laux of Blackwall. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is on the postponed business, which has resulted in the change of the expectations for the year. Do I understand correctly that this is a business which is above average margin, so that it would help significantly the profitability in the first couple of months, maybe two quarters of 2020? And the second is related to your comment on the 800 volt drive system that you're going to present at the IAA exhibition. Do you have already a lead customer for that product? Have you developed it in combination with a certain customer? Or is there a specific application behind? Thank you.
Yeah, so to your first question, it's exactly correct. This new business arena we opened in terms of this 5G technology up to now shows a very, very good potential for compared to what we have in other segments, good for slightly high margins. This is correct. And so up to now, I do not see a change for the next, I don't know, 1 or 2 years. Now it's key to be a kind of a pioneer, to be fast, to be to make the systems available. We have this system set approach. So again, it's pretty easy to configure a system for more runtime or for a limited number of life cycles. So we can adapt this for Texas issues, for, I don't know, for Nebraska, maybe slightly different. And also we are working on this field already with German suppliers of this broadcasting technology. We stepped into these discussions already. So this is a market segment with a lot of potential, not just in numbers, to be sold over the next years. And by the way, it's not so compared to this LTE or 3G technology, it's not the same number of broadcasting poles which are needed. It because of a much higher data quantity to be transmitted with 5G, and a much shorter in between break. In Germany, it's Latenzzeit. Ping time is much shorter. It's up to 10 times more pulse or mass needed compared to this technology we have now. So a big, big potential in terms of numbers, and for us a big potential in terms of good margins. Mm-hmm. So to your second question, Mr. Laux, we do not have up to now a kind of a well-known big name customer for this 800 volt drive train components. It's by the way, it consists out of the battery system, of course, all high power electronics, inverters, DC-DC converters, chargers, and also high efficient e-machines. Again, with 800 volts, high performance, high efficient machines. But we have already some few first contacts to pretty well-known car makers. It's not Porsche and Audi. They have this technology made by themselves, of course. but some first discussions we have. But the main thing is, if you want to establish or position yourself in this kind of an application arena with such kind of technology or components, you have to show something. It's key to be able to demonstrate this with physically existing components. So we have decided 1.5 years ago to go that way, to present this not just as single components in early September, but as part of a drivable rolling chassis. So it's there, it's visible, you can feel it, and if it would be allowed, it would be possible to drive with a chassis without the body components, of course, through this Hall 5 where we have our booth. So, and this is, let's say, a must. You have to show something to get these first orders from customers we would like or we want to target. So, you have to do a first step. And this is our first step, and we are pretty confident that this will pay back in terms of future projects and revenues and good margins. Yeah, so this is
okay.
Our idea behind this approach we will present in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks in Frankfurt.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad now. The next question is from Remo Rosenau of Helvetische Bank. The floor is yours, sir.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Just to recapitulate on the free cash flow side, so in H1 we had this minus 24 million free cash flow, and now you expect to generate a positive free cash flow in the second half of the year, in a sense that you will come in anywhere between, let's say, minus 20 and minus 10 million free cash flow for the full year, hopefully rather towards the lower end of this range. Is that a correct recapitulation?
Yeah, Mr. Rosenau, that's correct, yeah. That's the correct way.
Okay. Now, on the receivables, you said 66% of the 71 million receivables were approximately stemming from Triathlon. That would be around 47 million. And I would say it is a fair assumption to allocate around roughly 40 million of those 47 million to the receivables you accumulated during the second half of last year, which should be repaid in the second half of this year, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, good. Now, could you tell us how much of this of these 40 million have been paid in July and the first 3 weeks of August now?
We will receive the first payment next week. That's what we
negotiated by this new contract we mentioned.
In the repayment plan with Triathlon. And then we will see a monthly payment to reduce its receivables for the end of this year.
And it's from time to time a seven-digit number.
Yeah, correct.
Till end of this year, every month, and with precisely fixed payment terms.
Correct.
So it's not just to be paid in in September, it's like to be paid on the, I don't know, 8th or 7th or 19th mm-hmm. of, so it's precisely for a particular day, fixed till end of this year and some
small amount in the next
some
year.
Few small amounts in January and February. Yes.
Okay, but you haven't got anything yet in July and August.
Yeah. It was, let's say, in a good course till June, end of June, no mm-hmm. doubt. But then, for certain reasons, we had to step into discussions with Triathlon with this result we explained. Yes, frankly spoken.
Okay, but with the contract you signed, it is made sure that all these 40 million will come in by 31st of December 2019.
Yeah, so the major portion of it. There is some
a small amount, not 10 million, it's a lower amount, will come next year because of the sales during this period. Or the last period, but the main amount, really the main amount, will come in this year.
Okay, but effectively, that is sounds like payment terms of 360 days plus 30 to 60 days in addition to that, right?
Not necessarily. So we have to. Or we had negotiated the complete sum by stepping in these discussions with Triathlon. Of course, then broken down to each single order, but at the very end of the day, we had to come to an overall plan. And as Mr. Zabel explained or tried to explain, around 90% or so we were able to secure to be paid back within this year, till end of this year, and a very small portion for certain reasons is to be paid back as part of this new agreement in the very early 2020. So this is the result, yes. And
okay.
How should I say? So it was not just an easy thing to come to this agreement. Of course, we together with Triathlon.
It was important to speak with them about their cash flow planning to
about their cash flow situation over the next months within this year and also for the early next year.
That's
to
right.
be sure that we will get this money, that the customer is able to pay this to us.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You too.
The next question is from Thomas Schießle of Equitz. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, thank you for taking my question. A question on Triathlon. The overall economic situation is worsening right now. What is there any outcome concerning the order mood of Triathlon and other customers in the logistics segment? And what is your what is your prognosis concerning the intra-logistic market for the
mm-hmm.
coming quarters, please?
Yeah, Schießle, this is a pretty good question. So, and I discussed this briefly over the past, I don't know, few weeks, also with the management of Triathlon and with some of their sales teams, some members of the sales team. So, how should I say? It seems to be a fact that intralogistics is so so business in intralogistics, is always, or the situation is always an early indicator of macroeconomic developments. So we have seen some announcements from Jungheinrich earlier this year, I think more than one. And some I spoke with in between mentioned, oh, that's just or only in regards to new forklifts, not infecting the aftermarket business. Some stated this, but this is not the view I have, and not the view, by the way, of all these experts, for instance, from triathlon. They have the opinion, and it's pretty much also my opinion, that also these after-sales business in terms of replacement batteries will, in a very first step of a reaction in the situation we are in, just in that moment, they many will refuse to buy or to order right now a new battery system to replace an older one because of uncertainties of the economics we have, overall economics. They also will refuse to order a battery, not just to refuse order completely new vehicles. They will drive the old battery some months longer in a first step of a reaction. This will change in maybe, and we hope that this will change in such a case, this weak economic situation will stay, I don't know, for a year or so, because in a second step, such decision makers will look to find potential to save money, but this needs some, I don't know, time to come down to this task, to concentrate on such things and to find out and to find such things where I can save money. So they will come back some months later and will learn, okay, by getting a new, for instance, high-power battery system from Voltavox in my forklifts, the total cost of ownership ratio is much better. So that means, or that will mean, I will save money compared to the situation before. But this will happen in a second step. In the first step, we expect a kind of a hesitation. So I fear a little bit that we will see some effects from this intralogistics arena right now, also coming from a triathlon in terms of slightly reduced orders. And we have, to be honest, we have this also included in our guidance or in our prognosis.
Okay.
For the next fiscal year.
Even for
it's not announced up to now, of course, but it's it's in the machinery to be generated.
Coming back to this backslash movement after the cost containment of your customers, and they will change their mood and the way of thinking about the total cost of ownership concerning the batteries, change of batteries. The aftermarket. So you say that the aftermarket first in the first step will go down, and afterwards in the second step will.
The very first reaction could be, and this is what also these triathlon experts are stating, to not order immediately a new battery when the old system is to this limit of 80% depth of discharge. So it's still running, but not as good as at the beginning. It's just 80% of the rest capacity to be used, but it's still running. So we think that in the very first moment now, a lot of such will not go to order immediately as before a new battery. They will wait. They will wait. They will calculate this and that to come to a kind of a program how to handle this situation of a slightly weak economical environment, and then they will find this and they will see and learn, okay, this is the potential, it's pretty good right now in this hard times, and then of course they will let's say step into probably into a kind of replacement strategy, maybe even more consequent than before.
Mm-hmm. Could you name the trigger for this reflushing of the
trigger
investment
is human behavior? It's natural human behavior, and of course we are with this understanding of this situation we are in right now, or this industry of intralogistics is in right now, of course we will take this and focus and will use these kind of arguments in our sales approach. So we let's say worked out a slightly different argumentation for our sales engineers to address this fact we are in right now. So driven by us to get these people to this second step I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean that you will have to be more price aggressive to trigger the market and to change the mood of the customers to buy new lithium-ion batteries?
Yeah, exactly. This is what I mean. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
If you would like to ask a question, press 9 and star now. There are no further questions in the queue.
Okay, so thank you very much, and we hope that you got the right picture of our situation, that what we presented and explained today more or less was satisfying you and answering all of your questions. Again, thank you very much, and I would be delighted to see the one or the other in September during our show in Frankfurt. Thank you.
Bye.